بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of the 40 Nawawi hadith collection, and we have reached hadith number 36. In this hadith, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة، ومن يسر على معسر يسر الله عليه في الدنيا والآخرة، ومن ستر مسلما ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة، والله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه، ومن سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة، وما اجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده، ومن بطأ به عمله لم يسرع به نسبه. And this hadith reported by Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He reported that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, "He who alleviates the suffering of a brother out of the sufferings of the world, and whoever alleviates or removes a worldly grief from a believer, Allah will remove from him one of the griefs of the day of resurrection, or Allah would alleviate his suffering from the sufferings of the day of resurrection. And he who finds relief for one who is hard pressed, or whoever alleviates the needy of a needy person, Allah will alleviate his needs in this world and in the hereafter. Allah would make things easy for him in this world and in the hereafter. And whoever shields or hides the misdeeds of a Muslim, Allah will shield him in this world and the hereafter. And Allah will aid his slave as long as he aids his brother. And whoever follows a path to seek knowledge therein, Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise." And no people gather together in one of the houses of Allah reciting the book of Allah and studying it amongst themselves, except that the Sakina tranquility descends upon them, and mercy envelops them, and the angels surround them, and Allah mentions them amongst those who are with him. And whoever is slowed down by his actions will not be hastened forward by his lineage. And it was related by Muslim in these words. The overall explanation of the hadith: whoever alleviates a worldly grief, these are distressful and hardship matters of this life. And it could also cover certain cases or issues of deen where it could be hard pressing upon the person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove from him one of the griefs of the day of resurrection, because al-jaza min jins al-amal, recompense is in accordance with the kind or the category of deeds. So there will be relief for relief. However, in terms of type, it differs greatly. It differs greatly. The distress of this life is incomparable with respect to the distress and the grief of the hereafter. So therefore, if a person removes a worldly grief from a believer, then the reward would be greater, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve him from griefs of the day of resurrection, and this is far greater than the griefs in this life. So therefore, the reward would be much greater than his deed in this life to relieve his brother. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, or in this hadith, Allah will remove from him one of the griefs of the day of resurrection, يوم القيامة, يوم القيامة, the day of resurrection, the day when the hour will be established. And it is called Al-Qiyamah, resurrection. Because people will be first resurrected from their graves. Will be resurrected from their graves. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, in chapter 83, verse 6, يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين. The day when all mankind will stand before the Lord of Al-Alamin. So they will be resurrected from their graves, and then they will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second, this is the day when the witnesses will be witnessing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated about it, يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ, as in Surah Ghafir 40:51, إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُولَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. يَقُومُ, قَامَ, يَقُومُ, قِيَامَ. Verily, we will indeed make victorious our messengers and those who believe in the word, in this world's life. Those who believe in this world's life, and on the day when the witnesses will stand forth, will stand forth. Also, on this day, the third reason is that justice will be established on this day. قال الله تعالى in 21. Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 47, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. And we shall set up balances on the day of resurrection. Resurrection. Al-Qiyamah. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. نعم. So because of these three reasons, it's called the day of Qiyamah, the day of resurrection. Then, in this hadith, in the next statement, and whoever alleviates the need of a needy person, Allah will alleviate his needs in the world and the hereafter. Will make easy for him things in this world and in the hereafter. This is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had stated in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 280. وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرًا. And if the debtor is in a hard time, hardly pressed, has no money, then grant him time till it is easy for him to repay. We'll discuss this in the benefits later. So, therefore, the relief here covers relief related to money, financial, and making his affairs easy, education, helping in education, and so forth. Any kind that involves making things easy for the person who is hardly pressed. Here, the recompense had been mentioned in two places. The first in this life and the second in the hereafter. In this case, the relief is mentioned in this life and in the hereafter. When, in the case of what? In the case of making things easy on the person. Then in the next statement, وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. The next, whoever shields or hides the misdeeds of a Muslim, Allah will shield him in this world and in the hereafter. Here, this shielding of a person who may have committed a mistake or an error, either something in his own character, or in the deen, or in his actions. No. Then, in the next statement, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. And Allah will aid his slave as long as he aids his brother. So, if a person aids his brother and supports him, backs him up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him. Again, al-jaza min jins al-amal, recompense is in accordance with the deeds done. And then in the next statement, وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And whoever treads a path to seek knowledge, then Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make easy for him the guidance, the success that leads to paradise. And what is intended by the knowledge here is the knowledge of Sharia. The knowledge of Sharia and what supports it from the Arabic language knowledge and history and the like. As to the worldly knowledge, pure worldly knowledge like engineering and so forth, these are not covered by this hadith. Now the question is, are these wanted or not? We will talk about it, inshallah ta'ala. The Jannah, Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى من فضله. What is the Jannah? What is paradise? Al-Jannah هي الدار التي أعدها الله تعالى لأوليائه المتقين. فيها ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. Paradise is the abode which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have prepared for his pious worshippers, and such things as no eye in it, such things as no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard of, and nobody has ever thought of, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about it in Sahih al-Bukhari volume 6, book 60, and hadith 303. This is paradise. It is the abode which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for his pious worshippers, such things as no eye have ever seen in it, nor in it such things as no eye have ever seen, nor ear has ever heard of, or nobody has ever thought of. And then in the next statement, وَمَا اجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بِيُوتِ اللَّهِ. No people gather together in one of the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah. The houses of Allah, المساجد, the masajid are the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah stated in Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, verses 37 and 38. قال الله تعالى في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. Men whom neither trade nor sale. Let's have 36 before that also. في بيوت, in houses which Allah has ordered to be raised, to be cleaned and to be honored. In them his name is glorified in the mornings and the afternoons or evenings. Men whom neither trade nor sale diverts them from the remembrance of Allah, nor from performing as-salah, nor from giving zakah. They fear a day when hearts and eyes will be overturned from the horror of the torment of the day of resurrection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his favor and we'll ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from this fear. So they will recite, they will be reciting the book of Allah. So they will recite it word and meaning. They will recite it word and meaning. As to the word, it is apparent. As to the meaning, searching the meanings of the verses. And they study it amongst themselves with each other. Except that, those who do this, except that tranquility, the tranquility of the heart and the openness of the chest will be bestowed upon them. And mercy will envelop them, meaning the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And also the angels will surround them as an honor to them. And Allah will mention them with Him, with those before Him, near to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning those who stay in the masjid, who gather in the masjid to recite the Quran, the words of Allah, and study it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remember them, as in the hadith, من ذكرني في ملأ ذكرته في ملأ خير منه. In the hadith, in the hadith of Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am just my slave as my slave thinks I am. Meaning I am able to do for him what he thinks I can do for him. And I am with him if he remembers me. If he remembers me in himself, I too remember him in myself. And if he remembers me in groups of people, I remember him in a group that is better than they. And then in the last statement, وَمَنْ بَطَّأَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرَعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. And whoever is slowed down by his actions will not be hastened forward by his lineage. Now, the benefits of this hadith. First, the incitement. This hadith incites that the believers relieve each other under circumstances of hardships and distress. And this covers distress in matters that are financial matters, physical matters, war matters, and so forth. All of these are covered in the meaning of this hadith. All of them are covered under the meaning of this hadith. This is the first benefit. The second benefit is that recompense is in accordance with action. Relief for relief. And this is from the perfect justice of Allah Azza wa Jal, most mighty and most majestic is He. However, the type may differ because the reward far exceeds the action. We know that the reward tenfold, up till 700-fold, it could be. So it far exceeds the action. So that is why, therefore, there is difference in the type. There is difference in the type. Now, the third benefit is the affirmation of the day of resurrection. This hadith affirms the day of resurrection. And fourthly, that on the day of resurrection there will be hardships, great hardships. Yet despite this, all praise is due to Allah. It will be easy on the Muslim. It will be easy on the Muslim. قال الله تعالى, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Furqan 25:26, وَكَانَ يَوْمًا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ عَسِيرًا وَكَانَ يَوْمًا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ عَسِيرًا. And it will be hard, a hard day for the disbelievers. Allah Azza wa Jal said also in Surah Al-Muddathir 74:10, على الكافرين غير يسير على الكافرين غير يسير. Far from easy for the disbelievers. وقال الله عز وجل in Surah Al-Qamar 54 verse 8, يقول الكافرون هذا يوم عسر. نسأل الله العافية. يقول الكافرون هذا يوم عسر. The disbelievers will say on this day, this is a hard day. We seek refuge in Allah from that. As to the believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy and lightens that upon him. And people differ in terms of the ease upon them. The believers will differ in terms of the degree of ease upon them, in accordance with the degree of faith and righteous deeds they have earned. The fifth benefit is the incitement, encouragement to make things easy upon those who are hard pressed, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easy for them in this life and in the hereafter. They are promised by that. And the hard pressed, it could be that he is hard pressed towards you. There is a right for you upon him, and he is hard pressed to fulfill it. And he could be also hard pressed to fulfill the rights of someone else other than you. And the hadith covers both. The hadith covers both. However, if the right is yours, then making it easy upon him is obligatory. If the right is yours, then making it easy upon him is obligatory upon you. And if it is others' rights, then making it easy is recommended. Making it easy upon him, if the right is for someone other than you, then it is praiseworthy and recommended. For example, someone borrowed 1,000 riyals or dollars from someone, and the person was straitened under straitened circumstances. Therefore, if he took it from you, this is your right. Then it is obligatory upon you to make it easy upon him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Baqarah 280, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. And if the debtor is in a hard time, has no money, then grant him time till it is easy for him to repay. Then grant him time till it is easy for him to repay. So, make it easy for him. And it is not permissible for you to demand it from him. Not even insinuate, not even hint. And not also to go for the judge, seeking your right. And from this we understand, from this we come to know the mistake done by those people who go and seek the debtors and take them to the court and to judges and requesting their rights. In fact, those people, we seek refuge in Allah from that, disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. And if the debtor is in a hard time, has no money, then grant him time till it is easy for him to repay. So if someone now says, well, there are so many people who in our times are not trustworthy, who claim to be distressed, and while in fact they are not. So the person, what should the person do in this case? towards these people who claim to be under such a situation, and he doesn't trust them to be straightened. We say yes, in our times matters of trust differed without any doubt, and those who are stressed or those who claim to be stressed maybe not so, and even to the extent they could also bring some witnesses to testify falsely for that. However, if you verify, or it becomes most likely that it is the case, meaning he is a straightened person, then it becomes incumbent upon you to hold from demanding your right. No. So you may verify. You may verify. However, if you come to know, on the other hand, that this person is tricky and deceptive, and that he is well off but claims to be distressed, so in this case you may demand your right and seek it. Now this is with respect to what? To your right. I mean, what about if the right is for someone other than you? Then the making it easy upon the straightened person is a sunnah, but not obligatory. It is a sunnah recommended, but it is not obligatory. Except, however, in case where you fear that this person may be insulted or may be jailed unjustly, and so forth. Here, in this case, we may say that it is obligatory to save him from this. And this will be an obligation upon you as long as you are able to do so. As long as you are able to do so, to relieve him under such unjust situations. Now, so making things easy for the straightened person is doubly rewarded. A reward rather in this life and a reward in the hereafter. Then why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention this concerning the relieving someone from hardship? In the first statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this hadith that whoever relieves a believer from a hardship, from the hardships of this life, Allah will relieve him from a grief or hardship on the day of resurrection. What's the difference? Here there is a relief and the reward is only in the hereafter. But with respect to making it easy, the reward is in this life and in the hereafter. You understand the question? You understand the difference? Tayyib, let us have the first statement. Straightened, hardship, stressed, hard distressed, difficult times. That's what it means. Let's have the first statement. Okay. Whoever removes a worldly grief from a believer, Allah will remove from him one of the griefs of the day of resurrection. So there will be here what? It is in the day what? It will be removed from him what? On the day of resurrection, right? Now, with respect to making things easy upon the person, a reward is in this life and a reward in the hereafter is mentioned. Let's have the statement for that. And whoever elevates the need of a needy person, Allah will elevate his needs in this world and hereafter. So there is a difference here. Making it easy on people, there is an elevation in this world and hereafter. But with respect to the removing the grief, there is only what? The hereafter, day of resurrection. Right? You see the difference? You see the difference now? Okay. Tayyib. The difference is apparent. Because the one who relieves a grief removes it only. However, with respect to making things easy upon someone who is hardly pressed or under hardship, there is additional work here, and this is making it easy. And there is difference between lifting harm and bringing good. There is difference between lifting harm and bringing good. So, the one who makes things easy brings good and brings ease. You see that? There's additional work here. Is that clear? However, the person who relieves the distress, he lifts the distress only, right? And this is, and Allah knows best, that why in the first case the recompense, the reward is in the hereafter, and with respect to the second, there is a reward in this life and in the hereafter. Is this clear too? Next benefit. The incitement to shield the person, the believer. The incitement to shield the believer. Because the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, the Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ Whoever shields a Muslim, Allah will shield him in this life and in the hereafter. However, textual proofs restrict this if the shielding is good. If the shielding is for good. Remember, the textual proofs, on the other hand, restrict this generality to if the shielding is good. Because shielding are of three types. Shielding is of three types. First type, good. Second, evil. Third, the person doesn't know whether it is good or evil. He doesn't know whether it's good or evil. So if it is good, then shielding is demanded and praiseworthy. Is that clear? If it is good, then the shielding is demanded and praiseworthy. Is that clear? Shielding good, if it is good. Now, how can you shield good? If it is good to shield, then it is good, right? For example, on the other hand, if it is evil, and this is the second type. The third type, the person doesn't know whether it is good or evil. So if it is good, then the shielding is praiseworthy and required. For example, you saw a man of noble character and good in deen and in outward behavior, good reputation. You see him committing something wrong, and you know that this is, he'd done that and he regrets it. So in this case, the shielding is what? Is good and praiseworthy. You understand? This is good and praiseworthy. Second, if it is harmful and evil. Example, you see someone committing sins or transgressing against people. If you shield him, your shielding will only increase him in evil and in transgression. In this case, it is blameworthy. Rather, it's a must to disclose his affair and to discipline him. If this person is a wife, you report her to her husband. If he is a son, you report him to his father. If he is a teacher, you report him to his headmaster, and so on, to authorities. You understand? So what it means here, that in this case, shielding is of, it's not fitting. The third, you don't know whether the shielding is good or the disclosing is better or is good. In principle, the shielding is good. Then in principle, the shielding is good. And that's why it is mentioned in a report. To commit an error in forgiving is more beloved to me from committing an error in punishment. And this is related from Aisha. This is related from Aisha reporting it to the Prophet ﷺ. And it is also reported, this statement, from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and from Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma. So therefore, if you waver Is the shielding better or disclosing his affair better? Then in this case, shielding takes precedence. However, under such situations, you observe and follow up. Don't neglect this person, because it may be that later his affair will become clearer. It may be that this person is not fitting for shielding. You understand? You understand the three situations now? So hold to that. Hold to that. The next benefit is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the aid of the believer as long as he is in the aid of his brother. So therefore, this hadith incites to aid the Muslims. To aid the Muslims in all that which they might need. Even offering them their shoes if it is difficult for them to reach their shoes. And even to help them get on their mounts, get in their cars, or bringing close to them their mattresses to sleep on, and so forth. In all that which is righteous. In all that which is righteous. So the matter of helping and giving aid is very much comprehensive. Now, ninth benefit, Allah's knowledge concerning the affairs of His creation, and that He knows what's in the self of the believer and his hardships and his conditions. And he knows of the one who makes easy things upon people, and the one who shields the Muslims, and the ones who help Muslims. The tenth benefit. Making clear this hadith, the perfect justice of Allah Azza wa Jal, most mighty and most majestic is He. Because He made the recompense in accordance with the deeds. And we should take heed from this hadith and be keen about relieving the hardships and making easy upon the strained things easy for the strained and hard pressed, and to shield those who deserve to be shielded, and to help those who need to be helped. Because these etiquettes is just not for us to come and know about them, but what is intended is that we live by them and we act by them. The Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, mentioned this so that we adopt them. He doesn't want from us only to learn them, but rather to adopt them. And that's why our righteous predecessors from the companions, may Allah be pleased with them and their successors, may Allah's mercy be upon them, adopted these moral characters which the Prophet ﷺ taught. The 11th point of benefit is the incitement to help the believers, to help the Muslims. However, this is restricted. Restricted that such a help should be based upon taqwa, fear and righteousness. Because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 2. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. And help you one another in albir, righteousness, and in virtue. And if it is on something which is haram, unlawful, then this is unlawful. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated also in the same verse, next wording, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا على الإثم والعدوان. And don't help one another in sin and transgression. And fear Allah. Well, if it is on something permissible, then if there is a benefit to help the person, then this is from benevolence, goodness. And this is covered, falls under the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 93. وَأَحْسِنُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَأَحْسِنُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves the good doers. Do good, and Allah loves the good doers. And if there is no benefit to the one to be helped, then his help is to advise him concerning this matter and tell him, avoid such and such. There is no good in such and such. And from the benefits which we learned also, that recompense is in accordance with the actions, and rather the reward is even greater. We mentioned this earlier. 13th point of benefit is incitement to follow the path for knowledge, the path that leads to knowledge. And this means to incite people to follow such path because of the reward mentioned. And in this there is an indication for sincerity, because the Prophet ﷺ said, يَلْتَمِسُ, in this hadith, يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا, meaning seeks the knowledge for the sake of knowledge, not just for show off. So if it is a show off, while it's a matter where a person should seek the face of Allah, then he will be held blameworthy for that. And as some people may cite a statement said by some of the scholars of the past, طَلَبْنَا الْعِلْمَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, we sought the knowledge for other than Allah, فَأَبَى أَن يَكُونَ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejected that, except that it must be for Allah. So what does this mean? It means that in the beginning, in their beginning, at the early stages, they did not make the intention present. The intention meaning that this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not make it present when they sought it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened upon them. And this, it does not mean that they intended the knowledge as a show off. This is far remote, because this is at the early, this is of the early stage of Islam, and it cannot be. So this means that in the beginning they did not make the intention present, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened upon them to have the intention present in their seeking of the knowledge, and thus it turned to be completely for Allah's sake. In this hadith, anyone who treads a path, and the path of knowledge could be tangible and intangible. The tangible is that which is the physical, the roads, the paths, physical ones. You go from your home to the masjid, or to the place where the discussion is, or the lecture is, or to the class of ilm is. No. The intangible is, you take the ilm from the people of ilm, or you read the books, or you send to the tapes, and so forth. And again, the reward is in accordance with action. So whoever treads a path to seek knowledge, Allah will make it easy for him to succeed in the path for paradise. And in the benefits also, one should hasten to attain the knowledge. One should hasten to attain the knowledge, and this should be through exerting the effort and seriousness. Exerting the effort and seriousness. Because every person must move in the direction of paradise, hasten it. Hasten the move. in the direction of paradise. If you want this, then carry on the deeds which will lead you there quickly, hasten you to reach there. The next benefit is that all the affairs are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is deduced from the hadith. In his hand, subhanahu wa ta'ala is making the things easy. And if you believe in this, then you seek the ease from Allah the Most High. Also from this hadith, the 19th benefit is the incitement to assemble on studying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when people assemble, then we have three situations. When people assemble for that, then we have three situations. The first situation, they all recite with one tongue, one voice. And this is for ta'aleem, for education. Like the teacher recites the verse, then the students follow him with one voice. With one voice. If this is for learning, then there is no harm. If this is done for learning, then there is no harm. However, if this is done as a way of worship, then this is an innovation. If this is done as a way of worship, then this is innovation, bid'ah. The second situation, the people assemble, one of them recites, the others listen. Then the next one recites, then the third, then the fourth, and so on. And this has two angles to it. The first angle is to repeat the recited. So the first one, for example, reads one page, then the second reads the same page, then the third reads the same page, and so on. There is no harm in this, especially if it is intended to memorize the Quran, or those intend to strengthen their memory to revive and to keep their memory nourished. The second angle to this is a person, the first one, recites a special recitation of his, then the second recites different than the other, and there is no harm in that. And the Shaykh rahimahullah said, وَكَانَ عُلَمَاؤُنَا وَمَشَايِخُنَا يَفْعَلُونَ هَذَا. And our scholars, the people of knowledge, used to do that. The first, for example, he said, would read from the Baqarah. The second would read the second 1/8 part, and the third will read the third 1/8 part, and so forth. So one of them would be reciting and the others listening, and the listener in this case carries the same ruling in terms of the reward as the one who recites. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the story of Musa and Harun, as in Surah Yunus 10:89, قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا فَاسْتَقِيمَا. Allah said, verily the invocation of you both is accepted. Both is accepted. Yet we know, who was the one who invoked Allah there? Who was the one who invoked Allah? Huh? Musa. Exactly. Musa. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the same, in 88, the same surah, verse 88. وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا رَبَّنَا لِيُضِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَى أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاجْدُدْ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُوا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمَ. Our Lord and Musa said, listen, and Musa said, our Lord, you have indeed bestowed on Fir'aun and his chiefs splendor and wealth in the life of this world. Our Lord, ربنا اطمس على أموالهم واشدد على قلوبهم فلا يؤمنوا حتى يروا العذاب الأليم. Our Lord, destroy their wealth and harden their hearts so that they will not believe until they see the painful torment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قال قد أجيبت دعوتكما. Verily your invocation, invocation of you both is accepted. And it was said that Musa was making the dua and Harun making the ta'meen, saying Ameen. And that's why it is legal for the person who listens to the reciter reciting. If the reciter makes sujood, then the listener makes sujood. It is legal. It's mashru'. You understand? This is what the second situation with its two angles. The third situation is that they assemble and each person recites for himself without the others listening to him. And this is what is common nowadays. You find people in the row, in the masjid, كُلٌّ يَقْرَأُ لِنَفْسِهِ, each reciting for himself, and the others listening not. Is that clear now? So we have three situations regarding this assembly. Okay? And it takes from it, it takes out the innovated assembly. It takes out the innovated assembly. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not condone innovated assembles. Assemblies where people take it, recite in a certain form in order to make it as a means of nearness or a worship. This is not included here. This is excluded. The next point of benefit is adding the masajid to the name of Allah as honor to it, because it is the place of his mention and of his worship, of worshipping him. So conjugating the masjid with the name of Allah in the statements, this is for honoring. Why? Because this is the place of remembering Allah and for worshipping him. Is that clear? Now, what is conjugated to the title of Allah Azza wa Jal, what is conjugated to the title of Allah Azza wa Jal is of three types. What is conjugated to the title of Allah Azza wa Jal is of three types. Either it is an attribute. Either it is first an attribute, or an established essence, or an established essence, or an attribute established in an essence. First, it is an attribute. Second, an established essence. Third, an attribute established in an essence. Three situations where conjugation with the title Allah takes a place. Let's take examples. First example on the first one, which is the attribute. The attribute of Allah. Like, for example, you say, Qudratullah, the ability of Allah. The ability of Allah. You say, Izzatullah, the might of Allah. You say, Hikmatullah, Allah's wisdom. And so forth. This is an attribute added to the title or conjugated with it. You understand? This is an attribute from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Clear? Fine. The second is Al-Aynul Qa'imatu binafsiha, the established essence on its own, in itself. Like you say, the She-Kamil of Allah. The She-Kamil of Allah. The She-Kamil is an essence, right? 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 The She-Kamil of Allah. The She-Kamil is an essence, right? It's a self, an essence. Right. You say, Masajidullah, the houses of Allah. In these situations, the camel is created. The masajid are created. So in these situations, the created is conjugated with the title of Allah. Allah conjugated it in the statements as what? As magnification of it and honor. As a way of magnification and honor to these created things when Allah added them to Himself in the mention. Is that clear? Okay, the houses of Allah, the she-camel, these are created things, created essences. But Allah added them to Himself. He says, Allah's houses, the houses of Allah, the she-camel of Allah, Allah's she-camel in the Quran. This addition is by way of honoring and magnification of these things. You understand that? Because Allah added them to Himself in terms of what? In the construct. In the construct. You understand? In the construct of the speech. Like for example, Naqatullah. Naqatullah. Buyutullah. Buyut, the houses of Allah, meaning the masajid. You see the term Allah is coming up. Buyutullah. Naqa shikamil. Naqatullah. Second part is clear. The third part. It is an essence established by itself, but it is in another essence. An essence in another essence. The third is an essence in another essence. Like the spirit of Allah. The spirit of Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah At-Tahrim, verse 12. فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا And we breathed into the sleeve of her shirt or her garment, مِنْ رُوحِنَا from our spirit. Allah added the spirit to Himself, right, in the construct. And in Adam, concerning Adam alayhi salam, in Surah Al-Hijr 15:29, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ So when I have fashioned him completely and breathed into him Adam, min ruhi. Let's have it in min ruhi. From my spirit. This does not mean that what is intended is the spirit of Allah Himself. This does not mean that in both cases, this does not mean that this refers to the spirit of Allah Himself. Rather, this is from the created spirit which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created. But He added it to Himself, what? For honor and magnification. So, the ruh is an essence. The ruh is an essence established on its own. But it is also now in another essence. Right? In another essence. Clear? And Allah added that to Himself in the construct. What? For honor, tashrifan wa ta'zeema. For honor and magnification. For honor and magnification. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Adam, when I have fashioned him completely and breathed into him, min ruhi, from my spirit. Why did Allah say, my spirit? He added it to Himself. This is a created spirit. Created spirit. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added it to Himself for magnification.
and honoring of it. Like in the case of Buyutullah, the houses of Allah. The spirit is created here. And it is in another essence, which is Adam, created. An essence in an essence. But Allah added it to himself, what? As a magnification and honor. Min ruhi, from the ruh which I have created. Exactly. That's why the Christians have a false concept of the spirit. That's why they say, they even refer to the Quran here, and they say, you see Muslims, you also have the same thing. We tell them why. Because you see, they say, Allah says, from my spirit. So, Jesus is his spirit. You see? That he is the spirit of Allah. They don't understand. This is a created spirit. Created spirit. Breathed into Mary. Breathed into Adam. Allah added it to himself. Allah added it to himself as an honor. Clear? Remember, these are very important benefits. These three classifications. An essence in another essence. Yes, Adam is an essence or not? Why you see one only? Ikram. Adam is an essence, established essence or not? Huh? Adam. Yes. Tayyib. The spirit is an established essence or not? Because it's created. Ikram. Right? It's created. So it is an essence in another essence. Right? It is an essence in another essence. Huh? Now clear? Adam's creation? Of course, Adam is an entity. Adam is an entity, is an essence. Adam is an essence. Created being, an essence. You understand? The next benefit. The next benefit. The rahmah of Allah, Allah's mercy, surrounds, envelops those who assemble to review the book of Allah and to study it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith, Allah says, وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ, mercy will envelope them from all sides, like the cover on the person, surrounds him from all sides. طيب. And that this reward, the next benefit, is that this reward occurs to those who assemble in the houses of Allah to gain this, the honor of this place, because it is the best places. The best places are the houses of Allah. The next benefit, subduing of the angels to the children of Adam. Subduing the angels to the children of Adam. Because حَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, in the hadith, the angels surrounded them. And this surrounding of those who recite the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And also this by obviously affirms the angels, the existence of the angels, and they are from the word of the unseen, as we discussed them in the hadith of Jibreel. The 26th benefit, the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal concerning the actions of his slaves. Because Allah says, وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers them before those who are near to him. And this is a reward because of their remembrance of him by way of reciting his book. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the slave in accordance with his actions. And since these people remembered him in amongst themselves, and each one of them was listening to the other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers them before those close to him from the angels. And this is an elevation of their mention, of their remembrance, due to their remembrance. And the next hadith, that lineage is of no benefit to the person if it delays him from the good deeds, from doing what is good. Lineage is of no benefit to the person if it delays him from what? Hastening to good deeds. This is in the last statement. من بطأ به عمله لم يسرع به نسبه. Listen, lineage is of no benefit to a person if it delays him from hastening to good deeds. This is understood and clear from the last statement. Whoever is slowed down by his actions, meaning to slowed down on his path to paradise by his actions, will not be hastened forward by his lineage. Now, therefore, what is understood from this statement? Lineage is of no benefit to a person if it delays him from hastening to good deeds. So, if he does not slow and hastens to do good, then would the lineage also have an effect? The answer is, there is no doubt that the lineage has effect and has a distinction. Has a distinction. We know from the hadith, what is the evidence for this? Huh? What is the evidence, I ask you? And this is the favor of Allah, He bestows it upon whom He wishes, from His slaves. What is the evidence for this? From the sunnah?
No.
Yes, this is one. This is one. This is one. Now, but more clear. More clear. This is also, this is evident. Yes, where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about himself. Yes, the hadith of the Prophet's lineage. Yes, mashallah. Two good answers, three good answers. Here is the hadith. And the hadith is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Allah chose me from what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى مِنْ بَنِي إِسْمَعِيلَ كَنَانَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose from the children of Ismail, Kanana, the tribe of Kanana. So Allah chose. And from Kanana chose Quraysh. And from Kanana chose Quraysh. Right? Right? You're following? Right? And these are from the Arabs, right? This is the lineage of Ismail, right? This is from the lineage of the Arabs, right? طيب. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَاصْطَفَى مِنْ قُرَيْشِ بَنِي هَاشِمْ. And Allah chose from Quraysh the children of Hashim. Right? The children of Hashim. And then he said, وَاصْطَفَانِي مِنْ بَنِي هَاشِمْ. And he chose me from Bani Hashim, from the children of Hashim. So this indicates that overall, the category of the Arabs is better than others. So the lineage has effect. And that's why overall you see in the characteristics of the Arabs, certain characteristics which are different from others, like in terms of the understanding, endurance and bravery and in knowledge. However, if they're Arabs or no Arabs, if their actions slows them, then they will be worse than others. Then they will be worse than others. Look at Abu Lahab. Wasn't he even the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Wasn't he an uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Asking. Yes. What about his affairs? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a special surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a special surah. Perfect, complete surah concerning Abu Lahab. Surah Al-Masad 1-5. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Sayasla نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد. They perish the two hands of Abu Lahab, the uncle, not just an Arab the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, and perish he, his wealth and his children will not benefit him. He will be burned in a fire of blazing flames, and his wife too, who carries wood, thorns of Satan, which she used to put in the way of the Prophet ﷺ, or used to slander him. If her neck is a twisted rope of masad, in her neck a twisted rope of masad. And from this we conclude that the person should not be deceived by his lineage. That the person should not be deceived by his lineage. Rather, he should be keen about his righteous deeds so that he attains the high levels. Wallahu al-muwaffiq. And all success is from Allah. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This includes the explanation of this great hadith. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and to make it a benefit for all of you. And we don't forget to mention that this is based upon the discussion and explanation of our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase his mercy upon him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him from the residents of Al-Firdaus Al-A'la, and may Allah reward him for all the good he did for this ummah, and to forgive us and him and all the Muslims. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.